Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation with Jack Martin. Jack's the Chief Financial Officer of the U.S. Department of Education, and joining us in our conversation is Deborah Kammer. Well, Jack, one of the biggest pieces of news of the department these days, the department's first clean opinion in many years, and only the second in some time. What was the cause of the accounting problems?
Well, previously, I think the department had very serious internal control and accounting issues, as highlighted by Congress, the GAO, and the Inspector General. Ed did not have an automated financial management system that could easily produce monthly and quarterly financial statements, and the department had numerous account reconciliation deficiencies. The Secretary promised Congress that he would address these issues, and I'm proud to say that the department has kept the Secretary's promise. We received our clean opinion earlier than I think most of the most optimistic expectations of folks around this town.
Just for the non-auditors in the group, what's a clean opinion?
A clean opinion basically says that the balance sheet, the statements are fairly presented. Doesn't mean that they're perfect, just that the numbers are fairly presented. We can go from there to a qualified opinion, a disclaimer, or an adverse opinion. But the balances, and in Ed's case, both budgetary and proprietary accounts, have to be fairly stated. And the internal control issues have to be, there can't be material internal control deficiencies.
It's a pretty important proxy for a department's ability to manage, or an organization's ability to manage their money. So when people talk about getting a clean opinion versus not getting a clean opinion, how is it supposed to be perceived?
I think that, and I've said this at the department, we could be green on the scorecard across the board, but if we were rated that way across the board and didn't have a clean opinion, it would not be the same. We would still be considered an entity that was not properly managed fiscally. So I think the clean opinion gives the department a stamp of approval for most of its administrative and financial operations.
But you mentioned that Congress and GAO had cited numerous problems, and your auditors cited numerous problems with the financial accounting in the department. What finally prompted you to make the management improvements?
I think the improvements were a response to the president's management agenda and the secretary's commitment to management excellence. The president's management agenda calls for financial management accountability within the agencies. The secretary made a commitment to Congress that the department's accounting would stand up under independent scrutiny within 1 year. The improvements were made because we went back to basics. Those basics included regularly closing the books, performing analytical reviews, stepping up account reconciliations, focusing on improving internal controls and business process reengineering. In addition, the CFO recognized the need to consolidate its accounting infrastructure. Therefore, the department's accounting officer, the head of FMO, was empowered to review all accounting policy changes and to coordinate the annual audit.
You know, we've heard a lot about the management improvement team within the department. Can you tell us what it is, what recommendations they've made in terms of financial management?
Okay, the management improvement team was an idea of Secretary Page. It is a group of career senior managers that were charged with identifying weaknesses and making recommendations for establishing accountability for results and performance-based management. They produced a roadmap to improvement, the blueprint for management excellence, and completed 85% of the original action items in the blueprint, with the remainder in the process of being implemented. They also implemented 80% of the management improvement recommendations made by the General Accounting Office and the OIG and the financial statement auditors. The department is currently in the process of ensuring the remaining 20% are completed in a timely and efficient manner. Now, there were more than 200 MIT improvement recommendations in the Secretary's Blueprint for Management Excellence. I believe our last report, there was 226. Samples of some of these actions are, I think the very first action, number one in the blueprint, was implement Oracle Federal Financials. Number two was prepare quarterly financial statements with analysis and make accounting adjustments within 60 days. Number three was perform feeder system reconciliations to the general ledger within 45 days of the end of each calendar month. And this action primarily dealt with the data coming over from our federal student aid PBO. Number four was to develop a project plan to upgrade Oracle Federal Financials to version 11i. I think number eight was submit the audited FY 2002 financial statements for the department to OMB in a timely manner. So this gives you the flavor of some of the items that we had in the Secretary's Blueprint for Management Excellence.
Several of the things you mentioned were around a new accounting system. Can you talk about how that's helped the department and its financial management?
Tremendously. It's been a great help to the department and a great help, the implementation of Oracle with respect to our receiving clean opinion. It allows the department to prepare monthly and quarterly statements in a timely manner by essentially pushing a button so that they're not manual workarounds and a great deal of human intervention. It permits us to reconcile our accounts monthly and analyze these accounts monthly. It permits us to provide better financial reports to the department's officers and managers.
Like a number of federal agencies, education had a number of old legacy systems. Can you talk about the challenges in retiring those systems and how you've incorporated the new systems?
Well, it's been extremely difficult because not only are we retiring the system, we're retiring the process and the business culture. It is a changing of the business processes that have major impact on an organization. I think we still have years of change management work remaining. The systems part, we believe, at education is relatively easy. That's what our FSO director states. It's the culture that is the changing the culture that is the difficult part. And I think we witnessed that when we implemented our travel management system, that when the system first went live, there were no end of complaints, barrages of complaints daily. Once everybody worked and we completed our training, I think now most people in our department are very happy with the travel system.
Now, I know a lot of the processes that changed around the new system had to do with reporting and reconciliation. You mentioned that. Can you talk at all about how those capabilities have changed and improved in the last year?
Early in, after our 01 audit, probably back in January of 02, we reviewed the recommendations of our auditors after they completed the audit work. We then established several reconciliation teams by account groups that met at least once weekly with very active senior management participation. We prepared comprehensive reconciliation plans for every major account. So we had a situation where both myself, Mark Kearney, the deputy director, Terry Bowie, the head of FMO, we were all at those meetings along with the accountants and analysts that were responsible for performing the reconciliations and preparing the plans. We had assistance from consultants in these activities, but it was a very intense effort, and I think it paid off with our clean opinion.
Let me take you back to your previous answer about the new systems and working through the new processes. Many are uncomfortable going to a system and then changing to accommodate for that system. They feel they lose control and driven by the system, and yet you talked about doing that and having a somewhat positive experience. I'm wondering, from your perspective, what were the lessons learned for sort of getting over that hurdle?
I think a big part is training, obviously, and I think it's necessary to continually communicate with the managers and the career staff and others in the department just what we're trying to accomplish. And I think it requires support from senior manager, from the secretary, the deputy secretary, and the senior officers on down.
Is there a rule of thumb about how long it takes to sort of get people comfortable with change? It sort of doesn't happen overnight. How long does it take?
My experience, and I've been around for a long time, I think it's a function of, probably in my view, of how well management works the problems. We had intense training programs at education. We were very responsive to employee concerns. We tried to address them proactively, and I think it paid off.
One of the things I've noticed about the department, it's sort of in a unique position. It has one of the largest budgets in terms of dollars as a cabinet agency, but yet it is one of the smallest, I guess, in terms of the number of people. And I'm curious about, you know, what challenges does that present?
Well, first, I think we, and this was sort of a revelation to me last year or so since I've been there, that I think we have the third largest budget with respect to discretionary funds in the federal government. I think the only cabinet-level agencies or agencies, period, that have budgets higher than ours, discretionary budgets, are defense and HHS. And if you look at that, considering we have only 4,700 employees, so that's even more remarkable. I think the department's 2003 discretionary budget of $53.1 billion reflects the importance to President Bush of closing the education achievement gap. I think our challenge at the department is to successfully implement all the goals of the strategic plan. I think our budget of $53.1 billion represented had the largest increase of any domestic federal agency.
A good stopping point. We've got to go to a break. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue talking about management with Jack Martin of the Department of Education. How is education doing with the issues called out in the president's management agenda? We'll ask Jack when the Business of Government Hour returns.